Video games are like sunrises. If you wait too long, you miss them. William Arthur Ward. Hey everybody, welcome to the Enlightened Gamer. We are matless this week, but with me I have my old faithful friend, John. Say hi, John.
Hello. How's it going, Joel?
Not bad. We haven't done this in a while. We usually open off with what have you been playing? And I think we've been skipping that lately. What have you been playing?
Well, this week I've been experimenting with Twitch streaming. So I've been playing a lot of Minecraft as per normal. I'm building a server for friends to play on. And I've just started playing Euro Truck Simulator.
Ooh. The Euro Truck, American Truck Simulators, those are fun games, but they become really monotonous to me after a little while. They're fun, but you really want to play an interesting way on those games. Play with a mouse. That is the most difficult thing.
Well, that's the thing. I got like 4 hours into the game, and I was like 150,000 euros in the hole,
right,
from all the accents I kept getting in. And your brother Matt said, a co-host said, use your controller. And they don't have any default profiles for the controller. You have to configure all the buttons and the axes and all that.
Which took me like an hour.
Yeah. Once you do, it's amazing.
Right. Right. And like, I never was able to figure out how to set up my gas and brake to be the triggers. So like I had to use like my second analog stick up to go and like down to brake. But yeah, no, it's much better with your analog sticks for sure.
Oh, I was able to get that figured out for the triggers, which that really helped. But now I have like 40,000 euros and I bought a truck on a loan. So I'm actually making a lot of money.
Wow. Did you pay your loan off or did you?
No,
you...
I think I still owe like 80K.
Yeah, that's not too bad though.
Pretty soon I'll be hiring somebody and then I'll be living the European dream.
For Extra Life this year, which we might as well start plugging Extra Life at this point. One of the ideas Matthew had, our other host, is, he said we should all take out a $100,000 loan, and whoever pays their loan back first wins. And we do it in real time. And that's kind of a cool idea, I think. So
it really is. But we all have to buy the same truck, same features, probably, right?
Well,
or no?
If you pay off your loan, then that's, you know, whatever's the best bang for your buck, kind of.
What if I just don't buy a truck and I pay it off?
You and your loopholes.
I work for a law firm, okay?
No, but honestly, I think that it's a fun idea. The other one that's fun that we still haven't done is we wanted to do a Sunday afternoon Roller Coaster Tycoon where we all Twitch stream and
Park value?
Yeah, get the highest park value on, what's the first level called? Oh, I can't remember. Forest Frontiers.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can crank up the Forest Frontiers.
See, my suggestion, it would be, I mean, Forest Frontiers is great. But also, we should probably consider something, a difficult park as well, like Evergreen Gardens, which is terrible.
Oh, yeah. You can't build roller coasters there at all. It's hard.
Yeah, because I mean, it's beautiful, but you have to tear down like $6,000 worth of trees just to build anything. And
right.
Also, the park is so big that the guests get lost. And your research and development team is on crack, so they only develop like more topiaries to put in your park. And not roller coasters.
Even if you turn them down, they still like are like, you don't need roller coasters.
Here you go. Here's a wooden Virginia rail roller coaster. Like, I can't build this. People don't want to ride this.
Enjoy this crazy mouse.
Well, that's a game that I don't know if we haven't really talked much about Roller Coaster Tycoon recently, but I was so happy with those expansion packs, Loopy Landscapes and Corkscrew Follies. What did you think of those?
Oh, those were great. And actually, I'm going to be a little bit odd here. I thought that the Roller Coaster Tycoon games actually achieved their like pinnacle, their apex with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. I really thought that was a good game. It had some weird like mission-based stuff in it, but I thought that, you know, there were a lot more options with roller coasters. I don't know. I just thought it was a really good game.
You're also able to ride the rides, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing too, I don't think this is on one. I'm almost positive it's not on one. Is that, you know how when you get to the end of your roller coaster and you like have to figure out how like to put like six S turn rights to make it complete itself or whatever.
Yes.
Like this one just has an autocomplete button. So you get to the end and you hit autocomplete and it finds the best route for it to finish the roller coaster route for you.
That was certainly not Roller Coaster Tycoon 1. I remember pulling out my hair. I would build this amazing roller coaster in a super tight park and could not get it to finish. So you'd end up shortening your station and then you wouldn't be able to take as many riders or your train wouldn't be long enough to get enough momentum to go over your first hill.
And they wouldn't be very profitable then.
Exactly. So that was a constant battle I had because I had like zero planning skills.
Well, the other one too is you could build your roller coaster really awesome, but then they'd have this like super tight turn at the end where you're still going like 60 miles per hour.
The like 17 nausea.
Yeah, exactly. The excitement and nausea gets off the scale. So well, not even excitement, intensity, I guess, is the other one.
One thing that really frustrated me was the when they broke down, I would have to pause the game and run over to the roller coaster and see what the cause was. Because if it was station brakes failure, then you would have to delete the ride.
Right.
So what I did is I just put brakes right before every station.
Right.
Never had a roller coaster crash since.
Right. No, you're exactly right. That was a huge safeguard that you had to put in there.
Which seems simple. I mean, until I realized that simple fix, I stationed like three mechanics right at the exit of every ride, just waiting for that call. And even then, I'd still lose riders.
Right. But that game is certainly awesome. And I, you know what? This is a good segue because I don't think either of us put this on our list. Tonight's topic is games that we'd like to see happen, but haven't happened yet. And I think a Roller Coaster Tycoon 4 would be on that list. It's been, what, 10 years now since we've gotten a Roller Coaster Tycoon game?
Well, I think there have been some successors that may have been under the name, but I don't think they followed
in
the spiritual sense.
A free-to-play iOS app, and a free-to-play website. At all. Right. That's no good.
So that doesn't count. Yes. Something that
Cityville,
something that's just as captivating as Roller Coasters Tycoon 1 through 3. That doesn't have DLC, it has DLC. I don't care about that. Expansion packs are fine, but doesn't have the pay to win or free to play kind of vibe. Just a game I can pay for and burn 1,000 hours on like I did when I was a kid.
Right. I played, I don't know if I ever told this story or not, but I played Roller Coaster Tycoon. I had a job where I was like a third shift watchman. And so once an hour, I'd have to go check on like three cabins at this camp. And like basically it was for really severely handicapped kids. So I'd have to check and make sure their ventilators were still running and everything was okay. And then I would go back for like 58 minutes after I did my 2-minute walk. And I just played Roller Coaster Tycoon like on a laptop like that whole summer. So I definitely am in the 500 plus club on that game for sure.
Did you beat the game?
Yeah, I did. I don't think I got Tycoon on the very, very last one. I think it's pretty ridiculously hard if I remember right.
Well, a lot of them were. And one of the things that was really hard about the expansion pack, I think Loopy Landscapes, is you can no longer charge people to get into your park. And that was a huge source of income for me. But they disabled that because they realized that it kind of made the game too easy. Because you could just charge somebody $80 to get in, and they wouldn't be able to ride any rides, but what did you care? Your park value is high because you have a lot of cash on hand. So I think that was something they needed to address, but I don't think they needed to go nuclear and disable admission fare.
The thing that I had a problem with was I kind of like role played it anyway. Like I wanted to be like realistic about it. So I'd charge people like $25 to get into the park or $30. And then I wouldn't charge for rides. I'd be like, the rides are all free. Like you get in and you can just ride rides. So like Cedar Point or something. Or then I would make it so it's free to come in, but then you have to pay for every ride. And I'm like, that'd be really strange to have to like buy tickets, like, but whatever. So, I mean, I always kind of did that. Yeah, exactly. Or like the county fair or whatever. But, one thing of news before we get into our topic. I know people love the news because we talk about it like a ton. This is the only one I'm going to put in. And I thought this was interesting. We're talking about 10-year-old games. This game's actually like 14 years old. Warcraft 3 is like 14 years old. And they just announced a new patch for it. So that's pretty crazy. Yeah. Like, I can't believe they're doing that. But I think they're going to revamp the game, make it a little more playable for current computers and for people to play online and stuff. So I definitely am looking into getting that because I love real-time strategy games. And all the real-time strategy games that have come out lately haven't been major studio backed, it feels, and have always had like some kind of gimmicky weirdness to them. So I don't know. That's one I'm definitely gonna be checking out. So
I heard the same for Diablo 2. They just announced a new patch for that, and that came out
a long time ago. I mean, I guess I've heard rumors or speculation or whatever that they have a classics team is what they call it there. And they're, all they do is they work on their old products, old properties to try and continue sales of them.
Oh, at
and
Valve? I mean,
at Blizzard.
Oh, Blizzard. That's right.
So, I mean, Blizzard basically, like, they only have maybe 12, 15 games or something, but
true,
they take good care of them. So, and I mean, like, how long's Warcraft been around? It's going on 15 years now, I would say. So
it was like turn of the century, I think, when it came out, right?
Right. I'm going to say like maybe 05 at the latest. So, I mean, we're certainly over 10 years. So
I'm thinking of StarCraft, the first StarCraft that came out in the 90s.
First StarCraft was a long time ago. Yeah, way back. And then like the first Warcraft was like 90s, early 90s. And okay. Then Warcraft 1, 2, 3, and then the World of Warcraft is, I don't know. Like, these dates are all wrong. And there's, like, we always allude to the fact that we think we have a fan or two on this show. I'm not sure if we do, but if we do, like, the fan is listening right now saying, no, it was
raging
this year.
So hard.
Yeah. So
they're so salty over our dates.
So if you are a fan of the show and you're listening, like, there's 50 of you guys that listen to the whole episode every week, it feels like. Like, we get stats on it, and there's, like, 50 people out there who listen to the show. And that's not a ton. We don't do this show because we're like, oh, those 50 people count on us having a show that takes up an hour of their drive or whatever. I mean, like, I'm sure that you guys appreciate us being just whatever, but like, we would love to do the show for 100 people instead of 50. So like, your call to action this week is tell somebody, say, hey, you like video games, right? Check these guys out. They're actually okay. Or if we're not okay, like, send us a message saying, hey, you guys need to stop doing this or start doing more of this. We think this is cool.
We love hate mail just as much as we love fan mail.
Yeah, anything. So we're just hoping to engage you guys a little better. So that's your homework this week. I know I'm as lazy as anybody. I'm less likely to do anything than anyone. But actually go to enlightenedgamer.com and get us a comment or contact us somehow. And I think, man, this is me really going on a limb here, John. I'm guessing that by the time this episode comes out, there may be a fresh new bio page on Enlightened Gamer.
I think so, because we are working on that right now. And also, I realize that the social media integration is not up to snuff. I want to make it easy for you guys just to click to identify yourself so that you can leave a comment so we stop getting Viagra ads. So all you have to do is click the Twitter button or the Facebook button, and you can comment as yourself. We'd love to hear your feedback on each episode. We'd love to have discussions. We'd love to see fewer Viagra ads. So do your part. By the time you hear this, that will be fixed.
Awesome. So, John, anything else before we get onto the meat and potatoes here?
No, I'm actually really excited about today's topic, so let's get to it.
So today's topic, this episode's topic, whatever you want to call it, is the top three games that were never made or haven't been made yet that we both really want to see. But haven't seen yet. And John, you want me to go first or do you want to go first? I don't care.
I can go first.
Right on.
One thing that's really important is that this list is very subjective. It's our own top three games. This is no way an objective list like you would find on BuzzFeed.
right. We didn't poll anyone.
That was sarcasm. So, but seriously, this is very subjective.
Oh, I get it. BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Anyway, my first game. Gosh.
Speaking of BuzzFeed, John, when are you going to turn the ads on the bottom of Enlightened Gamer that say top 10 celebrity secrets you'll never believe?
You know, those must make a ton of money because everybody does it.
Like, I know you go to like the local PBS station's website anymore and it's like top 20 nip slips that you'll never see anywhere else.
Yeah. By the way, don't click that one. It's all dudes.
David Hasselhoff.
Okay, my first game is going to be the Mercenaries franchise. I would like to see Mercenaries 3, and I'd like to see it not suck. So to give you some backstory, Mercenaries 1 came out on not the first generation, whatever the generation with Xbox and PlayStation 2 was, and it captivated me. That game was awesome. There was so much to do. You could like be your own boss. You could go to whatever towns you wanted to. You could do whatever missions you wanted to, and then you could play different factions against each other. So it was as simple or as complicated as you wanted it to be. What were you going to say?
It wasn't just you. It was all that circle of friends that were hanging out at my parents' house at that time. Like everybody was playing this game. I mean, I know it wasn't just you. Like brother John, not you, John. Had this game on Xbox, and I know that at one point he had so much money that like he would just call in the most absurd stuff for the most simple missions. Like he would use like rocket launchers and helicopters and crazy stuff for like helping an old lady across the street kind of stuff. I mean, like,
oh yeah,
just crazy.
Kill an ant with a sledgehammer because you can call these crazy, like, laser guided airstrikes. You could point a laser at a building and the airstrike would hit the building and it would crumble. Like, that was like my first experience of the destructible environment, and it was awesome.
That is great.
So I remember being so excited for Mercenaries 2, and then they delayed it. And they said, well, we're not ready. So they delayed it by like 9 months. And then they released a product that wasn't as good.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it, but...
I never played Mercs 2. I played Mercs 1 a little bit. And Mercs 2, I was told, just don't play it. It's not good.
It was kind of fun to play with friends, but it didn't captivate me like the first one. That was a fine game. Like, then there were like mini games too. And I remember in the first one, like, you could steal vehicles and take them to the chop shop and sell them. And you could do it over and over and make tons of money. That was just something you could do for fun. I remember you could, like, if a helicopter flew over you, you could somehow hijack it. And then you had a helicopter. And I mean, there's like pretty much nothing you couldn't do in that game.
Mercs 2 was on 360 PS3 generation, right? I mean, it wasn't PC as far as I know.
I don't think it was. Yeah, I think it was just a console game.
Yeah, because if it's on PC, it's probably alive out there somewhere. It'd be fun to pick it up and play it still.
It might be on PC. I feel like I remember seeing it. I'll check Steam. I wouldn't want to give our listener some bad information.
Well, while you check Steam, I'm going to go ahead and let you know my next pick here is for... a game that you know how, like you have gamer scores on Xbox. I'm going to tell you right now, my gamer score on Xbox is, probably double what it would be otherwise because not quite. It's got a good chunk of my gamer scores from this one single game franchise, and that's the Fight Night franchise. I really, really want an EA Fight Night round six on Xbox One or on PC. Like that, those games are awesome. And it's to the point where I'll play the UFC game now and it's pretty bad compared to what Fight Night games were to me. So I really want a Fight Night game. And what is cool about it is the things that other host Matt talks about with, WWE, where you get to do a custom character and go through their career path. That's the stuff that I really love about Fight Night. Like you create a boxer and I made myself look like Butterbean. I was this big fat white guy and I like went out and fought. And I beat everybody, and you fight like the all-time greats. Like you fight Muhammad Ali, and you fight like Tyson in his prime, and all this stuff. Yeah, it's really fun. So a Fight Night Round 6 game would be amazing. Just bring those next-gen graphics to it, update it with some newer boxers. I think it'd just be really fun.
So this is a boxing game then, right?
Yeah,
not UFC or anything like that.
Right, okay. Just pure boxing, and it was like. It had some like finesse to it, but you could button mesh and still do pretty well, which made it kind of fun too. So, but I would love it to be like you can play online against your friends and just beat on each other. So I'm thinking round four or Fight Night Champions had that to a degree, but it's still Xbox 360 generation. So the graphics aren't quite there. But the other thing too about this, if you go back and look at Fight Night Champions, like, you're going to be like, whoa, those graphics are really good for an Xbox 360 game, like almost photorealistic. And if they could come out with one on the Xbox One, it would be just astonishing. And I don't know of any news or any development of Fight Night Round 6 at all. So I could be totally an idiot on that, but I would love for them to come out with that game.
That sounds like a lot of fun. One thing that frustrates me about wrestling games and UFC games is that there are so many combinations you have to memorize for different types of attacks.
Right.
When you just have your two fists, I feel like it'd be easier to learn the mechanics.
A jab, right jab, left uppercut, left hook. You know, I mean, just like there's haymaker. Button mappings for everything, you know?
But it's so much easier just to remember for two limbs, not four.
Well, that's the thing that was fun about this game was I think if you hit like the like menu button or select button or whatever, like you do this crazy haymaker where like if you landed it, you would knock the guy on the ground. But if you missed, you let yourself totally open for like a battering on one of the games. So that was pretty fun too.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I would love, like we had mentioned in the last episode you and I did together, we tried boxing, you, your brother, or my brother, your brother, me, and your other brother tried boxing, and we like nearly lost our friendship because of it. I feel like this would be a lot better way to get out those urges.
And I don't know if this ever made it to air, but Brother Matthew was making comments about that episode later. And he was saying, like, it's a good thing that John Regan's pretty docile because he has 6 inches of reach on our brother and, like, probably 40 pounds of muscle on him at the time. That he could have just really railed on him.
Had I known how to use what I had, Yeah, I could have put him in the hospital, I'm sure, but that's just not how I'm programmed.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty well for both of us, I guess.
Well, you're number two then.
I'm going to have to go with the cliche game, Half-Life 3. It's been long awaited by me, but unlike most people who say, "Well, where's Half-Life 3? Half-Life 3 confirmed." I actually played Half-Life 1 and 2 before 2006.
Right.
And then I played the episodes when they came out in 2006 and 7.
You're a genuine fan of the Half-Life series. You're not just Gaben, all is Gaben, all is life, Gaben is love.
Praise Gaben. No, that's not me. Right. I just love a good game. And one thing about Half-Life 1 that roped me in was you became Gordon Freeman. And you, within a short amount of time, like, it felt like you were fighting the aliens, that your own government had turned against you. And it was so captivating because of that. They just did a good job of making you feel like you're in a movie. So that, I remember I had chosen that as one of my top cinematic games, because it's really not a cinematic game, but in a way it is, because of the way it really leverages your imagination. It feels like you're in a movie.
I think Half-Life is renowned for more its like groundbreaking environmental and like gameplay features, but I think the story on it's pretty solid too. People reference the story still today. My son has a T-shirt that he doesn't get at all, like, because he never played Half-Life, but it says Gorman's Fish Sticks or something, and it has like little crabs sticking out of the box, so it's kind of fun. So like, yeah,
which is funny because there is a company called Gordon's Fish Sticks, right?
Yeah, but it's like a Half-Life crossover shirt. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, so Half-Life 2 really expanded on that story because they added a lot of other characters that weren't just incidental, like a cop or a soldier, but the characters they added, like Alex and her father, there was the Reverend and Ravenholm. Like, they added a lot of depth to the story and kind of painted the picture of what the world had become because of that rift that was created in Half-Life 1. And now they had, like, alien overlords and whatnot. So that also felt like a movie, even though you were playing as Gordon Freeman the whole time and there weren't any, like, cut scenes or anything like that. It was sort of like reading a book where, you know, people say it's better than a movie because it sort of, like, paints this whole picture for you to experience. That's exactly what Half-Life is. So I would love to see Half-Life 3. I think that with today's graphics and with Valve's team, I think that they could make a phenomenal game.
Huh. That's pretty awesome. And I definitely would say that would be an honorable mention for me, just because I know so many people want to see that game. And I know that when it's finally announced, which there's been speculation that with Steam VR, they're gonna announce it as something that's going to be a Steam VR title. But I know the entire interwebs is going to go insane. And, like, I almost feel like there's no way that game could live up to the hype that people have for it, or the hope that people have for it, even.
But that's why I think that I'll like it no matter what, because I actually played the originals. And I think that even if it turned out to be like the most recent Duke Nukem game, I'd still play it through and would enjoy it to some degree.
So is there more story to tell there? Or did Half-Life 2 wrap things up?
Well, they had episodes 1 and 2, and as far as I can recall, and it's been years since I've played it, I think there still were robot overlords or alien overlords. So I think that there is more story to tell. Like a full revolution it certainly opened itself up to a full revolution.
Well, there's just so many memes that come from that game too. It needs to come back.
Yeah. So absolutely.
And like, Gorman's the original hipster. He had the dark black glasses 10 years before all the hipsters today are wearing them. So, I mean, yeah.
Pretty cool scientist. I think he was fresh out of grad school.
So, Half-Life 3, I definitely would say put it on my honorable mention list, and you've got it on your number two.
Half-Life 3 is confirmed as my number two.
I see what you did there. My number two is a game that's never existed, ever, and probably won't ever exist because it's such a niche game. I love hockey. I actually drove 8 hours round trip to go see a hockey game on last Sunday, an NHL game, and I live really close to Notre Dame, so I go to Notre Dame games frequently. Oh, nice. And a fan of Notre Dame sports in general, but I would love to see an NCAA hockey game. I think that would be just amazing, where you recruit players from like the junior leagues and play as Notre Dame versus, you know, like Duluth, like the University of Minnesota at Duluth or whatever, against these, you know, Lake Superior State and like these other colleges like that. Like, I think it'd just be really fun. And there are people who are fanatics about college hockey, so they would play it, but I just don't know that there's enough there that people are going to pick it up and want to play it.
Well, I can tell you there isn't, because EA never leaves any money stone unturned. So
right. If there was money to be made, they would be doing it. But that's it's too bad. And I think actually the closest thing I'm ever going to get is, I think NHL 94, not 94, NHL 04, they've actually like kind of hacked that and gotten the source code stripped out of it, and they've modified it and made it better and better. And so that's the last year that they made a NHL game for PC. But there's all kinds of like roster updates you can get and skin conversions and stuff. So I'm guessing, and you can get minor league teams on that. So I'm guessing there's probably a college mod on there, but I would love to just see a college hockey game. And this relates really close to my number one when we get to it. But, it's too bad that that's the case. And you're absolutely right. If EA thought they were going to be profitable on it, they would definitely do it, especially since they have the NHL franchise that is already there. They just have to reskin that, you know? So, I mean,
that is weird. I wonder why they haven't done that. And they must have done the research, because they have a lot of college games, right? They have the NCAA football, of course, but don't they have a baseball one? Or am I talking out of my keystroke?
They've had them in the past. Okay. Like, definitely basketball, definitely baseball, and definitely football. That's the other thing too. The only reason why I own an Xbox One, I mean, there's other reasons now a little bit, but the NHL games don't come out on PC. If the NHL games came out on PC, I wouldn't own an Xbox One. That's the only reason why I own an Xbox One, is to play the NHL games.
You have a Windows 10 device, so it's almost like they came out on PC, because you can play them from your computer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I stream them, and it's really, really nice how they stream. But
shameless Microsoft plug.
I have a $300 box sitting in my room, and like it is, like right now my Xbox isn't even hooked up to a TV. It just sits in a living room next to my router, and I stream. I only play it on my computer.
Cloud gaming device.
It really is. It might as well sit next to my, like, my modem and switch underneath the cabinet somewhere, because I never have ever physically use it. I mean, I'll have to hit the button to boot it up after like a power outage or something, but
sure.
I mean, that's it. So it's a good console. They keep getting better with it, and the integration into Windows 10 is awesome. But like, honestly, like the NHL series, awesome. I'd love to see a college game. So that's my number two, maybe a little anticlimactic, because I'm guessing out of our 50 listeners out there, like zero of them want that game. So,
well, clearly, or else EA would have made it.
Right. So, okay. Anyway.
That's a great one.
Yeah, so John, you got crap about having your dogs being noisy in the background. It's my turn, I think. So my dogs are like being ridiculous upstairs. So, and that's my number one game. I want Dog Catcher Simulator 2016. That's not true. All right, John, what's your number one then?
My number one is a game that I have played probably 500 hours of. Well, a series I've played 500 hours of. A lot of it with Matt, our co-host. And that is Battlefield Bad Company 2. I would love to see Battlefield Bad Company 3.
Yes.
One of the things that they had in Bad Company 2 that they haven't continued doing was they had the fully destructible environment. To me, that's like cracked me as a gamer. I love being able to have a variety, a whole gamut of ways to kill enemies, whether it be collapsing the building they're in or blowing them up with some sort of tank or...
Your turn.
Oh, no, my dogs are acting up. I just love having the options. You can call in a mortar strike and blow up their building. But it's not even all about the destructible environment. Another thing about that game was the maps were incredible. They were some of the best FPS maps I've ever played on.
Well, you know what I liked about the Bad Company games?
What's your experience? I'm sorry. I think I turned my volume down, and I was talking over you, I think.
Well, my experience with the Bad Company games, what I like about the Bad Company games is I like that they have a really good single player mode on them. Like most of the time you get a Battlefield game, you usually get it just for the multiplayer. Like you don't care about the single player campaign, but the single player campaign on those games is really funny and really good.
And it was well done too. It wasn't gimmicky. It just had good writing, and it was, I use the word a lot, but it was captivating.
That's an amazing choice, John. I might have put that in my number three if I would have thought of it. Like, that's
why
really
I didn't want
choice.
To say it beforehand, because I knew you might have stolen it.
I would steal it from your tender grasp.
Yeah, I really wish that they didn't go the Battlefield 3, 4, and Hardline direction without having released a Bad Company 3, because that is the last Battlefield game that I put hundreds of hours into and thoroughly enjoyed every one of them.
Yeah. No, I'll be with you on that. Like, I think that would be a great choice for them. And I can't believe they're not developing it, honestly.
I can't believe so either, but, you know, maybe they are. I don't know what their next Battlefield is. It was probably Battlefield 5.
EA doesn't tend to, play their cards very loose. They keep things tight. So they might be. Who knows? So,
yeah.
This is all, games EA hasn't made for us, is what it feels like.
Well, yeah, because Mercenaries is an EA game. I just looked it up. It's on Origin for $10. Mercenaries 2. Huh.
So 5 out of our 6 picks are EA games, which is really funny.
That is. You get it together, EA.
Well, my number one, it's an EA game. I gave you that much. My joke's not going to work now. I was going to say there was this game on Xbox where you played as a space marine called a Spartan and you were called Master Chief, and I wanted more of these games, but there's been tons of those games because that's Halo. But my number one is this, and this is something that's going to be news to you based on our little conversation we had just a second ago. I want them to bring back NCAA college football. They stopped making them in 2014 or 15 or 2014 or 13. They stopped making the games, and I think I'm almost certain it's because they had a lawsuit with the NCAA saying, hey, you can't use our students' likenesses and make money off this game and not, pay them or whatever.
Not pay us.
Right, exactly. So this lawsuit, they were going to try and get sorted out. Well, EA said, you know what? We'll just cease and desist and we can just move our own ways.
These student athletes.
Right. That the only people who make money off student athletes are the NCAA. So,
it was not in the best interest of the students. I didn't realize that they actually had the likenesses of the students. I just figured they were randomly generated, which it probably should have been.
Well, here's how they got in trouble. They had, this is how awesome this game was to me. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan, and I would know the recruiting class that was coming in every year, what city they're from, their height, their weight, everything.
Yeah.
And when the EA game would come out, I'd be really interested to see what their ratings were. So, and then, I'm not the only one. On our Notre Dame fan boards, we would all, post the ratings and be like, that's garbage. This guy's going to be way faster than an 83. I can't believe they have him that low. And, stuff like that. But then here's where they really got in trouble. They would have their height and weight and their city they're from almost exactly right. Exactly figured out. But then also what they would do, and then they had the numbers right, too. So they'd have the numbers. Sometimes the incoming freshman would be, a little hiccup where, they would have a couple of numbers flip-flopped. But all the sophomores, seniors, juniors, all the upperclassmen had the exact right numbers, exact same hometowns, and exact right stats. But then here's where they really screwed up and they got in trouble, is they had this thing called EA Locker, where you could do, basically crowdsourcing of rosters. And so, you could, make a custom roster and then make it public. And you can make custom schools and make it public. So, what people would do is they would do, you would go to a website called NCAA names or whatever. And it would be hey, go to your EA locker and download this file called this. And it would put the names in for the players even too.
Ooh.
So that's where they really got into a bit of trouble. And then here's where the real problem is too. So you've got the names in there. You got the heights. You got the weights. You got everything like that. And now all of a sudden the announcers are announcing the names too. So they programmed the announcers to say the names too, knowing that people were going to do that. So I mean,
okay, they set themselves up for this,
silly.
Didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. But I missed those games badly. It was so fun to recruit new recruiting classes in and just play as a head coach of a program. And that's never going to happen on the newest generation. So, unless somebody figures out how to hack a Madden game and make it a conversion, but I don't even think the Madden games come out on PC. So the likelihood of that is not too hot. So that's my number one.
That's disappointing, but I guess it is what it is. That's the game I played a lot of. That's why how I learned about football was playing NCAA probably 2010 with Matt.
And you can do some absurdly fun stuff on there. You can one time I recruited just based on speed, and so there's this one star punter who had a 99 overall speed, and I recruited him in, changed him to a wide receiver, and he was a five star receiver immediately. So I mean And you could move your guys' positions around. So you'd put like a like athletic quarterback at tight end, and like he would be terrible, but it would be fun to like just buff him up over the course of his career at like your college and stuff. So
one thing anyway. I did was I like to run a lot of 2-point conversions, especially when I didn't need to. And I just did it because I loved hearing the announcers go, "I can't believe that coach is giving them such a poor example of sportsmanship by having them do the 2-point conversion." I was like, "Yeah, I am."
You only have like 20 canned phrases you can say, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. No, that's it. Any honorable mentions on your list?
Any honorable mentions? Oh gosh, I had one, and it was. No, I think we wanted Roller Coaster Tycoon, and that's one that I had Absolutely. Mentioned in our prep talk. We wanted, not that they botched any, but it's just they haven't released any new ones recently that are worth anyone's time.
There was a period for a while where SimCity, the 2010 game or whatever, SimCity 5, they kind of informally call it, came out. Ooh. And it was that weird, almost like an arcade app kind of thing going on. I was like, man, a good proper city sim game hasn't come out in a long time. And then Cities Skylines comes out, and it's like the perfect city builder. So
I still want to play that. They got that. It looks amazing.
Oh, it's really good. I just spent like 3 hours on it last night. It's nice. So good.
That looks incredible. I like that it went back to making you lay power lines and water lines, because SimCity Classic had you do that. How do they not have that in the latest SimCity? The latest SimCity, I think
they tried to broaden the appeal. Like, whenever they try and broaden the appeal of a game, they always ruin it. So, like, Dungeons & Dragons, they tried to broaden the appeal of that game by making it, like, less detail-oriented, just jump in and play. And the people who play that game love the detail-oriented, like, character creation environments and stuff like that. Sure. And so the same thing's true with, like, SimCity. Like, people play that game because they want to micromanage a city. They want to, like, be in charge of, like, what day the trash man comes and, like, where the power lines are routed.
Absolutely.
And I think EA underestimated that. They're like, well, let's just get casual players to play. So if you zone stuff, it's automatically powered as long as you have a power plant in your city or whatever. So that was kind of garbage. But
one thing
anyway.
That really frustrated me with that game is that it wasn't really designed for somebody who really took it seriously. Because I built this really compact city, and it like everything backed up, and there was just no way to do it.
Right, and there was no way, and that's exactly it. They weren't intending you to make a one big city. They were intending on you making a huge region and then building that great works. And like
region with small cities.
If you wanted to focus on just one city, then you couldn't do it. Whereas on City Skylines, you start off with like your one tile you start with is bigger than the tile you get for your whole city in SimCity. Playing SimCity 5 or whatever. And then you can buy up to 9 more tiles on it before you start having issues. And they do have a bug in it where the trash gets to be like, kind of, it doesn't work right. But I think they're working on fixing that. And it doesn't do anything until you get at least like 1 million people in your town and it's a 9x9 square, which is like, honestly, I would say that would be the equivalent of being like a 100-mile across city or something crazy like that.
81 square miles.
So, yeah, something like that. So, I mean, like, well, more than that, because I think each square is probably several kilometers. I mean, I don't know what the exact scale is, but it's a great game, and you can pick it up, I think, on G2 Play for $11-$12.
Oh, wow.
So
I think I would suggest it.
Yeah.
One thing that
we'll talk that next episode.
I saw something online that said that the AI was so buggy. Like, people would leave their house in SimCity and go to the nearest job to them, and that caused these huge traffic bottlenecks that you could not. You could not design a system good enough with public transit and roads to get around these bottlenecks.
Right.
So traffic is always a problem if you're trying to play seriously in SimCity. What a disappointment that was. That's a great honorable mention. I'd love to see a SimCity that doesn't blow.
I think City Skylines is probably the best thing you're going to get.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to praise City Skylines a little more, and this is going to make you want to go out and buy it, okay? There was a guy who has a review on Steam of the game about how people complained about him having high taxes. So what he did is he made his sewage come out in front of his water pumping station. So everyone in his town got like really sick and died, which is amazing. And then the other thing you do is like, as your town gets bigger, like eventually you hit a certain population threshold and these little skull and crossbones start popping up and you're like, what is this? And they're like, we need a place to bury these dead people. So build a cemetery. So like putting cemeteries into a town is like a thing you have to do. Like it's that detail oriented, which is crazy. So, I mean, like the water lines, the way they do the water lines is great. You have to route sewage and fresh water. Like they kind of run together parallel, but you have to like separate them to where they go. I mean, just, the power lines, the windmills, all the different power kinds that you can get. And then they have a lot of expansions coming out in this. So they just sold they hit a milestone on this for sales, like 2 million units, which is pretty good for a little indie company like this too. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For a PC game, I mean, pretty huge. So anyway, we'll talk that game more, I guess, later after you get some more experience with it. Cause I mean, honestly, I think you're going to love it.
Yeah. We could definitely have a game just about, City Sims, because I think between the three of us, we've had a lot of experience going back to the 90s.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, what did we miss? Leave us a comment. Let us know what games we missed. What game do you want to have out there that we haven't talked about yet? We need to know.
Leisure Suit Larry 2. Know.
If you're going to come at Leisure Suit Larry 2, like, you're probably doing it from a VPN, because that's shameful.
It certainly is. I don't know why anyone would suggest that.
It's in my Steam library, which is it's in my GOG library.
You got it.
Because I got a hidden key, but still.
So it's not entirely your fault.
I have never drank enough to want to play that game.
Well, too bad you can't transfer keys to your friends. Because I'd give it a crack.
I might buy you a copy to do a Let's Play of.
Well, let's not get crazy here. Oh, for a Let's Play? Okay, I'll deal with that.
All right, well, that's all I've got, John.
That's the same here. It's been a short episode, but we wanted to get one out today. We'll be having a few more we'll be working on later this week. So,
and there's a good chance people listen to the end at 41 minutes here. So
true. We won't see as many partial hits on our analytics.
And Matthew will be back. He had some very private and very, very embarrassing surgery he was in for tonight. So we won't talk about that, but... That's a big, fat, stupid joke.
It really
we're just
is.
Dumb.
He's just not There's feeling too well, too. He lost his voice, so we're covering for him.
All right, guys. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.